Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to be looking just at one verse this morning. We're going to continue on in our series. This is week 3 of a 3-week series on conviction. Conviction. And we've looked at various definitions of what conviction is, what it means to be convicted of something. The first week we looked at the definition, the act or process of finding a person guilty. And we talked about our conviction when it comes to sin in our lives, how we know right from wrong and are called to live godly and holy lives. Last week, we looked at the definition that talked about our truth, the state of being convinced of error or compelled to admit the truth. We talked about how important it was to know what our source of truth is to form our convictions. And this week, we're looking at a third and final definition that has to do with our belief. Our third definition this morning is simply this: a strong persuasion or belief. We are convicted about something when we hold strong to a belief. Now, you know very well some of our beliefs at our church. You know beliefs as me as a pastor, and you know beliefs about other people. You know about them and you believe certain things about them. For instance, when you look at your pastor this morning, you believe certain things about me. You believe I'm a Kentucky fan, right? You believe that the University of Kentucky is my favorite team and I'd rather cheer them on than anything besides the Robinson Maroons, right? That's my favorite team outside our high school team. You believe that I have a beautiful wife and 2 beautiful girls. You believe a lot of things, but you know, you don't know everything about me, do you? I hope you believe that I'm a man of integrity. I hope you believe that I'm a man who proclaims the word of God, but there are other things you have not yet learned about me. As a matter of fact, I want to give you 3 options this morning on what you might believe about me this morning, things you may or may not believe. I'll give you 3 statements. We'll play a little game. One of these 3 is true. Knowing what you believe about me, I want you to try to guess what you believe to be true. Statement number 1. Random little tidbits and facts. Only one of these 3 are true. Statement number 1. I have the same exact birthday to the year and date of my favorite basketball player, Dwayne Wade, of the Miami Heat. Statement number 1. Statement number 2. I was born abnormally large, so much so that at 6 months of age, I had to go on a special diet just so I could get to normal size again. Right? Statement number 3. I have never, ever in my life been to the state of Texas. Okay? One of those 3 statements is true. What do you, knowing about me, knowing the facts you know about me, what do you believe is true? Just shout it out. Go ahead. A, B, or C. A, I share a birthday with my favorite basketball player. B, I was a really chubby baby and had to go on a special diet. Or C, I've never set foot in the state of Texas in my life. On the count of 3, A, B, or C. 1, 2, 3. A, C. I'm getting very... I only got 1 correct answer. Boy, was I a big baby, my poor mama. Double digits I was. 6 months old, I had to be shrunk down. They thought I was twins with my sister who was 1.5 years older than I was. I don't even know when Dwayne Wade's birthday is. And while I've never actually walked around in Texas, I have been in their airport on an airplane 1 time. So I put my feet on the ground and then was back on the plane. So, you know, you guessed certain things about me. You didn't guess B. Most of you didn't guess B because of what you know about me. Now, you know I like to eat. You know I like to eat a lot. But you look and I'm only about, I don't know, 4 feet tall, it seems like. I'm not very tall. You look at me and you go, that doesn't strike me as a kid who is born abnormally large, because he is short in stature. But sometimes what you believe about someone or something is not always true. Sometimes what you believe is miscommunicated. And sometimes what you believe about people affects how you treat them. The same goes with our faith in God. What you believe about God is very important. And we have a lot of misunderstandings. We have a lot of things we believe about God that aren't true. A lot of things that we didn't know about God that are true. And it's important that we base our belief on what is true. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 tells us a little bit about the growth of our belief and our faith in God. Read with me in Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary message about the Messiah, let us go on to maturity, not laying the foundation of repentance from dead works, but faith in God. This morning, our belief changes as we learn more about God. We started this series off talking about our condition of sin, how God was calling us to repent and change our hearts. Once we do, we have to determine what we base our truth on. And we talked last week about how truth is important, how the message of God's word has to be the basis of what we believe. And this morning, it culminates. The more we know about God, the more we grow in our relationship with God, the more our belief in Him becomes clearer. The more we understand and we grow. You are not the same when you meet Christ as you will be as you grow in Christ. You will continually and constantly be molded and shaped into who God created you to be. This morning, I want to talk about this belief and knowing God, what it does to our lives. If you have your bulletin, you can follow along. There's some fill in the blanks as you take notes. The first statement I want us to think about is this: knowing God is more important than knowing about God. I'm going to say that again. Knowing God is more important than knowing about God. For all that there is to know about God, for all of the things we can believe about Him, none of it compares to having an actual relationship with God. Our belief should not stop with facts. We believe in God because we know Him personally. There are a few key phrases that the writer of Hebrews uses that I would like to emphasize this morning that we can look at in Hebrews 6, verse 1. Let's look at that verse again. Therefore, leaving the elementary message about the Messiah, let us go on to maturity, not laying the foundation of repentance from dead works, but faith in God. A few phrases we can emphasize. The first thing I think the writer of Hebrews wants us to look at is this elementary message. This phrase is not a derogatory phrase. This is talking about the message you believed when you met Christ. It's meant to mean simple, meant to be basic. It's not meant to be elementary as in lower, just the basic, simple message. At its simplest form, the Hebrew readers, those reading this book, knew what the elementary message, the basic message about salvation was. And that basic message is this: you are created beautifully. God created you to have a relationship with you and loves you deeply. The basic belief we have is that we, because of our own choosing, all fall short of how God created us to be. And we're all separated from God because of this sin. The basic belief says that Jesus Christ came to this earth, God in flesh, and died on a cross in order to pay for those sins. And upon confessing, believing, repenting, and following Jesus Christ, we can be completely and totally forgiven for those sins. This is the basic message. I find it odd that the writer of Hebrews says, let's leave this basic message. We're called to leave it behind. Now, that doesn't mean abandon it or forget it. We're going to look at what it means to leave it here in just a little bit. The second phrase is this foundation. You see, this elementary message is the foundation that we can move on from. The writer of Hebrews is not calling us to abandon this basic belief, but to build on it, to grow in it, not to stay on the bottom step, but to leave the bottom step that the next step is built on, to continue to grow in our foundation. And that way we can remember always that elementary message and build on it. they cannot forget this foundational message is faith in God, the most basic and foundational belief in Scripture. Even though the writer is leading the Hebrew people beyond this simple faith in God, they're not removing the foundation. The foundation is this faith. You know, we know a lot about God, but until we live and experience this foundational truth, our belief means nothing. There's an old statement that says most people miss heaven by 18 inches from here to here, from knowledge to a heart experience. You and I have the same important task: to leave just the basics of what we know and experience the foundational life-changing message that Jesus Christ has a desire to save us. Knowing God is not nearly as important as knowing about God. But secondly, knowing about God will lead you to know God more personally. In other words, your belief and what you believe about God does shape and affect how you grow. This morning's message is not telling you not to learn more facts and knowledge about God. One thing that I'm extremely proud of both my girls is they are excited every week to learn their new memory verse. Now, mom and dad don't always do a good job of helping them remember it, but they come home and they want to learn more about God's Word. This is great because they're putting it in. They're learning these facts and it's making them more accountable to know God personally. Just this morning, we had an interesting conversation on our way to church. Me and Ashton and Callie are in the van, and she said something about the gas station where we stop and get our drinks. There was nobody there. And Callie said, well, that's probably because everybody's heading to church this morning. Nobody's stopping because everybody's going to church. I said, yeah, there's sometimes people in there. Not everybody goes to church every Sunday. And Ashton was just floored. She was completely confused. What do you mean everybody doesn't go to church every Sunday morning? In her mind, her belief was, we go to worship God, and I can't fathom not going to church on a Sunday morning. Now, what we know about God is that we are to worship Him. That affected her relationship. Now, does she understand all that that entails? Does that mean she'll be in church every Sunday for the rest of her life and she'll never stray? Does she have it all figured out? No. But the basic facts she knows about God affects how she personally relates to Him. There comes a point in time where we have to take what we know about God and let it change our lives. In verse 1 again, we see that we are to leave this elementary message and to go on to maturity. We're called to take what we believe and let it grow and change our lives. J.G. Mockin says this: the more we know of God, the more unreserved we will trust Him. The greater we progress in our theology or in our knowledge of Him, the simpler and more childlike will be our faith. C.S. Lewis compared practical Christianity and theology to viewing an ocean or a map. And he talked about how the more we explore and go and do, the more we know. We can look at a map and see everything in every place, but until we set foot on these new locations, we only have a partial picture. None of us take our maps, plot out our course, and then rip them up and throw them away. What we believe the map is telling us calls us to go, calls us to travel, calls us to do. And our belief in God likewise calls us to know Him personally and experience Him deeply. But thirdly, and most importantly, what we believe, what you believe, should affect how you live. What you believe should affect how you live. Wednesday night, we started a study entitled Follow Me. It's a wonderful study challenging each of us to look into our own hearts and our own lives and to see, are we really followers of Christ? Is it just praying a prayer or simple, elementary, basic belief that God exists that saves us? And the question was asked, what do we respond to people when they say, the Bible says all you have to do is believe? Another theme this morning, the question was asked in our Sunday school class. You know, what about if someone says, I committed all of these horrible crimes and murders and these horrible things, but I simply believe in Jesus Christ? Is this what Christianity is? The answer is our belief must affect how we live, or it's not belief at all. There's a man who was hiking and he fell off a cliff. But as he was falling, he managed to reach up and grab a tree limb on the way down. And so the following conversation ensued. He starts yelling for help. Is anyone up there? All of a sudden, he hears a voice. I'm here. I'm the Lord. Do you believe me? Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hang on much longer. The voice says, that's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Then the voice said, just let go of the branch. The man's dangling, and he's thinking. And after a moment pause, he yells, is anyone else up there? You know? Our faith is more than a belief that God will save us. Our faith is one that affects how we live and what we do. Our belief affects whether or not we'll let go of our life, whether we'll abandon all the things that we feel comfortable and know to be true. We are called to live out our beliefs. James says that demons believe in God and they shudder in their lostness. We are called to be different and to change how we live. Childlike faith is what the Bible compares it to. And I think it's a beautiful picture. You all have children who believe all sorts of fancy things. Ashton has in her head, for some odd reason, probably because we taught her, but she believes wholeheartedly, without shadow of a doubt, that if you swallow something, you could choke and die. This is her belief. She's worried that if she chews on things, because we've told her a number of times, we don't want you to choke, and eventually, if she's put together, if you choke, you could die. She knows and she believes beyond the shadow of a doubt, if she chews and swallows something, it could kill her. Well, the other day, a couple weeks ago, Hannah calls me and she says, we had kind of a meltdown. Ashton swallowed a Barbie shoe. It's gone. By the way, I found it a few days later. But she swallowed it and she panicked. She starts yelling and screaming, am I going to die? Am I going to die? And Hannah said, I went up to her and did you swallow? No. Is it in your throat? No. Then you're not going to die. She was panicked for the rest of the day. I might die. I swallowed a Barbie shoe. I might die. Because her belief then affected how she reacted. I tell you, she's not put things in her mouth in the last 2 weeks near as much. She slowed down because her belief that it could kill her has affected how she lives. And we all believe silly things. We all have silly things we hold on to. Our children have these great imaginations, and it really comes to life in front of them. Our faith in God is very similar. What we believe should affect what we say, what we do, and how we live. We should have this conviction, not just that we know about God, but that what we know about Him spurs us on to belief, to faith, and to trust. This morning, I wonder what our beliefs about God are. Do we believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth and that He is the only hope for our salvation? Do we believe that we need forgiveness for the sin in our lives? Do we believe that apart from this relationship, we have to pay for our own sin? And do we believe then that salvation comes through faith, trust, and following of Jesus Christ? I'm afraid that every Sunday morning we sit in a room full of individuals who believe these things about God, but have never let them affect them in a personal way. this morning, if you believe, truly, faithfully, and honestly believe this elementary message, what then are we called to do? Step one of the invitation this morning is to make sure that what we believe about God is more than facts, but it's something that affects our heart and changes our lives. And step two is to remind us that if salvation is through Christ alone, if our belief is that we find salvation in Jesus Christ, then that should convict us to put that into action and tell everyone who has a need to go and accept Christ as well. This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I ask you to search in your heart to know, do I practice and put into faith what I believe? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you. I thank you for my faith, but more importantly, I thank you for your faithfulness to me. Lord, I ask that you would convict our hearts to do more than just know about you, but to put that knowledge into practice. Lord, I pray that the one sitting here this morning who knows all of this about you, but has never fully stepped off, let go of their branch, and faithfully followed you, I pray that you would give them the boldness and the confidence and the assurance that their salvation is secure. Lord, I pray this morning that each of us would then take what we believe and let it impact our lives. Father, we pray this morning that you would give us strength, that you would give us encouragement, and that you would show us to make our belief real. It's in your name we pray. Amen. During our invitation, I would invite you as the singers come forward to stand. And as we stand, ask yourself these questions. How does my belief affect my life? Am I really, truly a follower of Jesus Christ? If not, this morning, I beg you to put your belief into action, to put your faith and trust in Him and commit to following Him, commit to abandoning your old life. This morning, I pray that you would put your belief into action.